You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. Thank you for joining us on this very special episode. And by the way, it is episode 647. Regardless, we're glad that you're hanging out with us.
Definitely. Definitely. Thank you for all the support. We greatly appreciate it. And we really appreciate all of the desire to help those who are at Hurricane Harvey. Yeah. The path of destruction that has really hurt the Houston and Corpus Christi area and the Gulf Coast around those areas.
Right.
But today we're going to be talking about, as drone pilots, should you be going down to the Hurricane Harvey area? Can you provide good help? And is it something that's feasible? That's what we'll be talking about today. And Rob, we've spoken with a few groups. We've spoken with, there's a group of guys going down. They're stationed with the Red Cross and, you know, they're doing some things out there. But before we get to what they're doing, I think it's really important to talk about, if someone wants to go to that area, is right. it really a good thing? And if so, if they can help, what is the proper procedure to go and help? I think it's really important.
Yeah, and how do they get plugged into the system, right? Because just coming in there sort of rogue, for lack of a better word, you're potentially going to do more harm than good.
Yeah, self-deployed individuals without working with the chain of command can actually cause a lot more harm than good. So what can you do if you do want to be a drone pilot and help? Now, the FAA has already put out a few pieces of information saying even if there is not a TFR and you're flying, chances are you can still face significant fines.
And keep in mind, there are going to be helicopters, I would imagine, all over the place.
No, totally.
I mean, well, in fact, I heard some, maybe the mayor of Houston, I don't remember who, saying, I think there are about 50 helicopters deployed right now. We need 100. So there are going to be helicopters all over this place.
And I agree. And I think that's why it's so important. If you are going down there, the only proper way to go down there is if you're working with a government agency or a government body at the top of the chain of command. It's really important. And it's really important to really discuss who that is, because whether it's FEMA, whether it's Red Cross, the issue is also not only are these people going there and they've got to have the right chain of command, but are they vetted pilots? Are they even qualified?
Right.
You know, because I talked to this group earlier and they were kind of discussing with me why they were down there and what they were trying to do. And it was really interesting to me because he was like, you know, we got to make sure that there's vetted pilots. But at the same time, I really questioned the feasibility of what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. So when he called, he said, you know, what we're going to do is we are essentially going to go down there and we are going to try to map the area. We've got a special COA, which we'll talk about a little bit later about how to get these special COAs. But the issue is not only the feasibility, but it's also the feasibility of the pilot. Because when I was talking to this guy, he goes, we're going to map this whole area, 250 feet, 50, 60% overlap, and try to farm all of that data. And I wanted to bring in Doug LaFarge, our mapping instructor, to really discuss the feasibility of mapping. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I really want to discuss this because, you know, mapping is something that we've been working on a lot here recently. We've been working on advanced mapping classes, enterprise-grade mapping classes, even focusing on our MLB deal right now. And when I heard that he wanted to vet pilots and that he wanted to do this job, I was like, well, I wonder if you're qualified. You know, you're going down there and saying you're going to map all these areas. And I know myself, 50 to 60% overlap. Okay, doable. We may have calibrated images. We may be able to have some data. But when a vast majority of that data is over water, I mean, it seems like it's not feasible because the lack of tie points.
Right, right. And yeah, their idea is problematic for a variety of reasons, the water being one of them. The software simply cannot match water. There's no shared point that can be matched. On top of that, Houston itself is about 620 square miles. And of course, the flooding isn't just confined to the city limits. So to do that mapping at 250 AGL, I just don't see how it's feasible in any short amount of time, especially using multi-rotors. You know, if you're really going to do something like this, you would be using a fixed wing, which will give you more airtime. You can move the air faster, collect more data. Speaking of the data, the amount of data they're going to collect is enormous. I can't even fathom where the equipment's going to come from to be able to do the process.
And that's a great point, because even here at DroneU, we had to buy a bunch of new computers that were all Windows based. And you guys know how I feel about Windows. And frankly, it was wow, the amount of power that you need to even process one map at full resolution to get, facades and get really nitty gritty detail is astronomical. And I know this isn't a full resolution map that they're going after.
Right. They're not going after a 3D model. We're almost certainly they're trying to get a two-dimensional map, and they're going to be using that for logistics and whatnot. And that makes some sense. I mean, I understand the need here, and certainly, if you will, the marriage between drones and trying to create a map of this disaster area. But that's a huge, huge area. When we tried to do just 500 acres of a ranch in southern Colorado, we were looking at 27 batteries and 8 hours of flight time. And that's 500 acres, not 627 square miles or more. So,
and that's why I wanted to bring up the point of, he was like, we're going to go into how to get a disaster COA here coming up once Rob gets back on the show. But one thing that's really important is qualified vetted pilots, because if these guys are saying to the Red Cross or to FEMA, hey, we can map the city and tell you exactly where you need to send emergency resources, it doesn't sound feasible. And then you ask about the validity or the vetting of those pilots. And we get back to, guys, let's talk for a second about getting a COA for a disaster area. I think it's really important. But Doug, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show to discuss this. I think it's really important that people understand that in a disaster relief zone where you've got a lot of choppers going on, you're trying to map this thing in heavily, or how would you say it, in densely aquified areas? I mean, what's the right
imagine.
Term? I just don't see the feasibility.
Well, yeah, that aside, first, I appreciate the effort that everybody's trying to put forth. You can't say enough about how people want to try. But, you had a number last night that we're looking at something on 40 or 50 days of flooding. Mm-hmm. So if I would say anything to everybody out there, this is a long game. Drones can be used and they can be helpful. And it's yet to be seen really how helpful they'll be through all of this. So, thank you guys for wanting to help. I mean, we're not trying to discourage anyone. But if you get in the way of what's going on with command there, that's more of a problem than an asset. So, keep that in mind, but
definitely. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And I think what they're doing is really awesome. Doug, thank you again for being on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Guys, let's talk for a second about, let's say you've got the right chain of command. Let's say that you're working with the air boss in the area. You're working with FEMA. You're working with some government entity. It's really important to understand exactly who you're working for. Now, why is that important? That's because if you want a COA in a disaster area, there are a few things that you need to abide by. Number one, you have to be working under a Part 107. Obviously, that's pretty clear. But the requested operations must be flown by a government entity or sponsored and supported by a governmental entity, as determined by the system operations security. The operations must directly support an active homeland security, law enforcement, or emergency operations effort, or some other response, relief, or recovery activity benefiting a critical public good. Now, obviously, if you're going down to Public Harvey, that fits the bill, but you will not be able to get a disaster COA if you are not working directly for a governmental agency. Now, remember, at the beginning of the show, we talked very specifically about who you can work for, the chain of command, the air boss. This goes in multiple levels of depth. I mean, you've got to be in with the right people, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And there very well may be some groups that have obtained the proper authority. I mean, somebody just commented that they had heard that there's a group from New York apparently that's gone down and that they do have the proper authority.
Yes.
So awesome.
Yeah,
go help. And
that was the group that I was talking about. And I wanted to bring up the feasibility of mapping, not to bust these guys' balls, but to say, guys, we really need to be realistic. We really need, if we're going to go down there and help, in my opinion, and maybe in Doug's opinion as well, I don't want to speak for Doug, and you guys heard it here, it just doesn't seem feasible to do mapping over water with the lack of tie points, the astronomical amount of data, the lack of pilots. But I see drones providing a very real and a very important role. I'm just not sure it's mapping. And I want.
So what would it be then? Let's get into that a little bit.
Well, I think what would be really important is having some sort of live downlink. If you were
exactly.
if you were systematically going out of neighborhoods, you are working with the air boss in command. You are working with FEMA or that governmental agency. In that guy's case, it's Red Cross. Mm-hmm. If you are working directly with these people and you showcase that, okay, we're going to go work in this specific neighborhood and we're going to take up, like, for example, I think a great drone for this is an M600 or an Inspire 1, mm-hmm. Not an Inspire 2, Inspire 1. And I say Inspire 1 for the zoom capabilities because mm-hmm. you want to be able to get detail, but you want to be able to live downlink that information back to incident command so someone can say, all right, we're going down these streets systematically. Let's go through each address number. And if there's someone there who needs to be rescued, let's mark that down.
Right.
Let's mark down which houses are flooded. I just feel like I know that system may seem more like time or personnel intensive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I ask people, okay, what is the time that it takes to process the mapping? And in my opinion, it would be astronomically more.
Well, and I would imagine that things are it's very dynamic down there right now, right? So things are changing so quickly. By the time you've processed all this data and obtained this map,
is it
it's
still relevant?
Changed.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have supercomputers that can process data super fast. But the amount of data that Doug was talking about that you guys discussed, that takes some time.
It does take some time. And I think the only group that could even process that amount of data is Microsoft's Azure. And you're looking at astronomical pricing mm-hmm. to be able to process that amount of data. I mean, 600 square miles.
Right, right.
You know, and like, you know, we just heard the mayor say they want 100 choppers in the air. They got 50 in the air doing rescues. And, you know, the worst thing that could happen is going down there without chain of command, without networking, doing your own thing, and then causing another accident.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the loss of life potential. I mean, there's just, it's wrought with issues, not to mention how horrible that person would feel.
Yeah.
You just need to not go there.
Well, let's take it to another level, wrought with issues. You know, another issue is if you go down there, where are you going to stay? How are you going to get into the city?
Yeah.
How are, you know, it's just so important that you are working with the right group of people,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's FEMA direct, whether it's Red Cross direct, because the only way you're going to get this disaster COA is if you are working and you are sponsored by these people and it is in writing. In fact, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think about the people that are there that are leading the charge, the people that are in charge of the operation there, and the amount of stress that they're under just naturally being in that environment. To have people coming in and asking, how can I help? And, you know, I've got a drone. I mean, it's not feasible.
Yeah, I don't think so. And you know, Doug brought up a great point. I don't want to, you know, he says, I don't want to downplay.
Yeah, absolutely.
What they're trying to do. But we've got to be realistic here, people. Like, I want to help so bad. In fact, a lot of people don't know this. I was a house captain for Habitat for Humanity after Hurricane Katrina. I spent almost 4 weeks down there, rebuilt 3 homes, and had a little leadership position at a very young age. And I think that if you've got a boat, you know, they talked about the Louisiana Navy coming out,
mm-hmm.
which is all these guys with swamp boats going
yeah.
out there and rescuing people. But then on the news this morning, they're saying, you know, half these guys who are out there rescuing other people, they don't even know if they have a home to go back to themselves.
Right.
And it's really tough. You know, going back to how to get a disaster COA, if you do have the right contacts, if you are working directly with FEMA, Red Cross, or another governmental agency or NGO that has the proper permission, you should check out order JO7200.23A. It's actually something that we mentioned a long time ago that we knew JO7200.23A was coming out. We didn't know what was in it. And here we are, disaster relief. And this order is just so critical and important.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in public safety whatsoever, pay close attention to page 17 and 18. I think it's really important. But guys, remember, you will not be able to get one of these COAs unless you are sponsored directly by a government agency.
Right.
I'm interested to see, actually, I'm going to pull up our Facebook page really quick because I really want to see what people are saying about this in regards to the disaster area. Like I said, you know, I think it's awesome that people want to go out there and they want to help. But at the same time, I think it's just super critical that we, again, are realistic. So, you know, if you've got a, you know, a big bird and you're working directly with FEMA, I think it's really, really critical. Yeah, here we go. Dusty says, and the Navy has deployed SH-60s and MH-53s. It's going to be a busy airspace down there. A friend of mine says the FAA is headed there to help and putting something in place concerning this. I'm awaiting further information from a company who will be inspecting towers after the storm abates. Do not want to fly without a supporting organization. Resources are limited. So I'm glad that people are taking this serious, and I'm glad that people are being realistic with their ability to help.
And, yeah.
And again, don't want to downplay the fact that you guys care, the fact that you guys want to use your tool to help other people is admirable. It really is. And if you are going to help and you're working with a government agency, awesome. Otherwise, if you're not, I think it's very fair to say stay away, because you could potentially cause more harm than good.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things I wonder, Paul, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but is there a place that people can go to find out what kind of help is needed? Maybe the Red Cross site?
So if you go to FEMA.gov/Hurricane Harvey, they say directly key safety tips. This is still a dangerous storm. Rumor control, resources to help people affected by the storm. Visit NVOAD.org to find family and friends or to register yourself as safe. Visit at the American Red Cross, which is safeandwell.communityos.org/CMS. They talk about to report missing children, to talk to a professional who can help you cope, and also to apply for assistance. Now, if they're saying how to help, they say cash is best, confirm donations needed, connect to a volunteer, industry liaison program. I think this is very important for drone pilots out there. If you are seeking to do business with FEMA in support of a disaster recovery effort, please be aware that in accordance with the Robert T. Stafford Act, FEMA's goal is to seek local companies within the disaster area for goods and services related to specific disaster when practical and feasible. This goes back to vetting pilots. If FEMA is working directly with local companies, that's again another like red flag. Like if you're from, you know, if you're coming down from Washington, probably not a good idea. Again, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to say, I mean, there are local folks that, first responders from Albuquerque, for example, is on the news. They're going down there, but they're going down there through some channel. They've been invited or they've requested, hey, how can we help? And they've been told, come do this. Here will be your commander when you get here. And there's a channel that they're going to follow. Somebody brought up an interesting point, which we haven't talked about, is you can't fly in the pouring rain anyways.
That's a very good point. Yes. That is a very good point.
Which, as far as we know, it's going to be raining for a while.
One of our other instructors chimed in on the comments and said the Texas Game Warden has info too. The Texas Game Warden did put out just a blanket, you know, don't fly, guys. And, you know, I really question. I've been seeing drone footage on the Today Show and NBC News. And, you know, there is the right to the freedom of the press, but you also have to yield to manned aircraft. And if you're flying out there and you cause a problem, the FAA has already reached out to me to get the message out to say they will go after you.
Yeah.
So I think that you got to be safe out there. You got to be realistic. You've got to have the right chain of command. You've also got to be realistic in what services you can provide if you are asked to do so. Because the worst thing to do is go down there and say you can do X and deliver Y.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you end up doing more harm than good, like we talked about. And certainly, I think there is some benefit, and we just can hope that, for example, the news agencies are going about this the right way. There's some benefit for showing what's going on, because frankly, it does encourage more people to help, especially financially.
True.
Because they are going to need, I mean, obviously billions of dollars. So.
Well, they're saying that, again, that the flooding could last for up to 40 days. And I went through Hurricane Isabel in Virginia, Hurricane Andrew. I got some really screwed up stories about both of those as a little kid, but more so about my dad than anything, like walking me out on the beach during the hurricane. I will protect you. And then I fell into a sinkhole and he grabbed me. He says, see, I'm here for you. Like, this is the dumbest thing ever. that's an example of what not to do.
Exactly.
Okay. So don't be like my dad.
Thanks, Dad.
I think I learned more from my dad of what not to do than what to do. But again, if you are working with a government agency, check out order JO7200.23A. There are teams going on deployments. You know, last time we talked about disaster relief, it was in Nepal, and we had Justin Woodcock on the show, and he was going with Team Rubicon. And again, you know, guys, it's just so important that you've got the right chain of command, you've got the sponsorship, you go for the COA, you get approval for the COA, you talk to the air boss, you guys relay your operations to the air boss. I mean, it is a systematic formula in order to do good. And I think an M600 with the Z30, I mean, I know DJI New York through Peter's program, they've given out a bunch of drones to help those guys out. And I really do hope it helps. And if mapping is something that's feasible, great. I really question it. And again, I'm not questioning it to bust these guys' balls, the guys that were mentioned in the Society of Aerial Cinematographers email. But it's more so we've got to be realistic. You people can't go down there to go on their Facebook page and be like, I'm here to help in the national disaster of Hurricane Harvey and I'm doing good, because oftentimes they may not be doing good. So I think we've got to be very realistic about you know, where you're from. We've got pilots down there right now mm-hmm. that just live down there. Right. You know, Joshua Baker, he's told me openly, like, you know, I don't have any way to go fly. Like, I don't know who to work with. He's out there driving around with boats and helping people get to safety. And honestly, Joshua Baker, you're the man.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Thank you for doing that.
Literally.
Just the images that we've all seen of I saw one of some elderly ladies in a group home or in a residential home, stuck in water up to their waist. Got to go get those people out. And I know they're working on that, but a drone in the air is not going to help them.
Yeah, it's not. Maybe we'll come to a day though when they will let drones carry people and we could just airlift people out of there. Because, you know, 50 helicopters is awesome, but imagine 1,000 drones deployed by FEMA. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Who knows? Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. Well, guys, thank you very much for listening. I know I repeated myself. I know we had some guests on here kind of moving back and forth, got a little distracted. But I do want to say I really appreciate you guys listening. If you have anything you want to say, please comment on this feed on Facebook. If you're listening on iTunes right now, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/droneu, and check out that feed. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear what's going on. Look, two other comments came in here. Dusty Alexander, this will require communication to air traffic control. And he says, I will also have the Texas Army National Guard Black Hawk pilot friends that are already there. They will be possibly 50 plus Coast Guard helicopters. It'll be in unusual circumstances in airspace. So, yeah, drone for...
To say the least.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's insane the comments that are coming in right now. And, you know, guys, I just want to say thank you. And really, for everyone who wants to go help, you got a huge heart, heart of gold. It's just about how you help. It's not about why. Obviously, why you want to help people, because, well, imagine if you were in that position. Imagine if someone, I mean, let's be real. What if someone has to take medication every single day and they don't have access to it? So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, people's lives are in danger for a variety of reasons,
totally,
not just the water.
Totally. Let's, as drone pilots, be leaders in disaster recovery by going about this the right way. Let's do this by communicating with chain of command. And oftentimes, maybe flying drones may not be the best way to go about this. I mean, I really just... Yeah, I struggle with this because I really, and especially after doing all these mapping courses and knowing a lot about mapping now, mm-hmm. I after that phone call with the guy from the Red Cross, I was just like racking my brain. Like, I just don't see how this helps. I think that there are ways that drones can help, but without the proper authority, proper communication, and proper channels, it's just not worth it.
That's right.
Anyway, guys, we want to hear your thoughts. Don't forget, go on facebook.com/droneu and let us know what you think. Dusty and everyone who has commented on the feed already, thank you very much. Keenan Newton, thank you very much. Public safety instructor here at DroneU spoke this morning. Really do appreciate that. And guys, thank you again for watching. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
And you're listening to the Ask DroneU podcast.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity. for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.